House Committee on Business and Labor for April 24, 2013. We have three bills to hear today. They're all related from the Oregon University system. So we will start out with House Bill or Senate Bill 264. So I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 264.
A work session or a hearing?
A public hearing.
Open. You said a
public hearing. Oh, a public hearing. Excuse me. I'm opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 264.
Madam Chair, we have a work session opened on it as well.
We may not move it today, so, okay.
Good morning, Chair Daugherty, members of the committee. My name is Brian Caulfield. I'm the Associate General Counsel for Labor and Employment at the Oregon University System. I am here testifying today in favor of Senate Bill 264, which has been moved out of the Senate for unanimous consent and unopposed. Senate Bill 264 is simply a fix to Senate Bill 242 to allow the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act's managerial exclusion to once again apply to the Oregon University system. And the policy reason for allowing this exclusion to apply is that it doesn't place employees in a situation where they have to choose between taking direction by their management and carrying out policy of management and their union. So if this exclusion doesn't apply, they get caught in the middle. I'm a represented employee, but I'm acting on behalf of management. My management is telling me to do one thing, my union's telling me to do another, and so that's the predicament that is placed upon an employee if this exclusion doesn't apply to OUS. So those are the policy reasons for it. And again, I'm testifying in favor of it. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But that's sort of the crux of this legislation.
Okay, thank you. Representative Widener?
Yeah, my question would be, because we've dealt with this issue many times in this committee already this session with management going into collective bargaining. When and how did they let management end up in the collective bargaining?
Well, it's not. It's listed in the recognition clause of the collective bargaining agreement as an exclusion, that it's excluded from the unit. But it says that how we define managerial employees is based on law. And so we'd look to decisions of the Employment Relations Board to define that, and also Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act's definition. And right now, that definition only applies to employees of the state of Oregon. And so with this bill, it fixes it and says that it also applies to employees of the Oregon University system.
Okay. Other questions? Representative Holvey?
So the Oregon University system, is that defined as how it exists today, the institutions that are involved in the Oregon University system as today, or in other words, will it include the independent boards if they should be created?
That's a great question. I'd have to get back to you on that, but I believe the way that the Collective Bargaining Act applies to the Oregon University system, it will apply on the whole.
Okay. I have one question. How many people that are currently in the bargaining unit that would fall in the managerial definition, about how many people is that? Do you have any idea?
Off the top of my head, I don't have a number for you. I can get back to you on that. It's used fairly infrequently throughout the year. If something happens where a person is gets additional duties and happens to move into a managerial position, mm-hmm. then we would notify the union and we would engage in bargaining with them over where the person should be placed, and they can object to that placement of a person into a managerial position.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 264 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 268.
Good morning, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jay Kenton, and I am the Vice Chancellor for Finance for the Oregon University System. I'm here to speak to you today about Senate Bill 268, which we are recommending your approval on, and it has passed the Senate unanimously. This is a housekeeping bill that closes an old PERS account. There used to be a supplemental PERS plan in place until 1996. At that time, that account was closed. However, there were forfeitures for people who had not vested in that account that got stranded. There's stranded assets in this account, roughly $3 million. And what this bill would allow us to do is close the account and use those monies to pay current PERS payments for both OHSU and OUS. And the bill has the support of the PERS people. It will actually lower their overhead if they close the account and get rid of it. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Do you have any questions? I do have one. The $3 million, is this money that's just kind of been sitting someplace since 1996?
Chair Doherty, the plan closed in 1996, and it takes 5 years or age 50 to vest, and so it could have been money that sat there since 01, I suppose, at the latest. But it has been sitting there. It has been earning interest, but it's just an account. The assets are stranded, and statutorily they're directed for the plan. So this statute would change that and allow OUS and OHSU to use it to apply to current PERS payments for current employees.
But all the people who are, you had the obligations under the old plan have been,
will be satisfied, yes. Okay. There's no effect on those folks.
Okay, thank you. Representative Kinnemer?
No.
Anybody, any other questions? Okay, thank
you.
Yes, Representative Widener?
Just trying to buzz through this real quick. So this would be for the entire system, not just for the OUS or for OHSU. It's for all public employee retirements that it would go in and benefit.
Chair Doherty, Representative Widener, it would be contributions on behalf of OUS and OHSU employees to pay their current PERS obligations, right? So we're going to take this $3 million out and use it to make our next payment to PERS for our current employee obligations. It does not apply to people outside of OUS or OHSU.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Any other questions? We only had, you were the only one signed up. Is there anyone else like to speak on this bill? Okay, if not, I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 268. And I open up, you may stay there, open up the a public hearing on Senate Bill 269.
Okay, Chair Doherty, members, again, for the record, Jay Kenton, Vice Chancellor for Finance for the Oregon University System. And again, this bill has passed unanimously in the Senate, and we are urging your support of it in the House. This is an optional retirement plan bill, and this is a plan that was created in 1995, and it was a product of its time at that time. At the time it was created, the statute required that we offer two life insurance or annuity products and two mutual fund products, and it was tied to PERS, the actual contribution rates for this plan, which is a defined contribution plan, not a defined benefit plan. That's really important to note. But it was tied to PERS, which is a defined benefit plan. When Senate Bill 242 passed last session, it asked that we set up a labor management committee comprised of half represented labor, half management, to look at this program and to see if it needed update. That committee, I was the vice chair of that committee, and we met through the interim and came up with some recommendations to improve this plan. And those recommendations are as follows. First, remove the limitation on the products that we offer, two annuity, two mutual fund products. The current marketplace today, we use an open architecture system that has hundreds of products, actually a lot more than two of each. And by aggregating assets under one investment management house, you can get better pricing for both the participants in terms of their annual load factors and the manager. So the first recommendation of this bill is to remove that requirement. Secondly, the eligibility requirements for this plan are tied to PERS, and that is you have to work 600 hours in every calendar year to be eligible for contributions. We have a number of part-time faculty and part-time people that they work 600 hours 1 year and they get a contribution. The next year, due to their schedule, they work less than 600 and don't get a contribution. And the committee looked at that and felt that was unfair. We felt that once you become eligible, you meet the initial 600-hour eligibility, you should be eligible on an ongoing basis at that time. And then finally, we would like to decouple the rate from PERS because it's difficult for people to plan. The rate fluctuates every time PERS rates fluctuates. And in this plan, it's a defined contribution plan, as I noted before. What you get in your account is all you have. There's never an unfunded pension obligation. That is what you have. And so we are actually recommending that for employees, new employees hired after July of 2014, I believe that's right, yeah, that they would go into a new plan and they'd get a minimum contribution of 8%. And that if they put another 4% in a 403B deferred comp plan, we would match that so that they would get a total contribution of 16%, 12% from the employer, 4% from the employee. And most pension experts today will tell you you have to contribute at least 15% of your salary a year to amass enough assets after a 30-year career to have a reasonable retirement. So we wanted to incentivize employees to contribute in addition to what we were putting in. We wanted to decouple it, et cetera. And again, those changes will not affect current employees. They'll only affect employees hired after July 1, 2014, that contribution piece, that is. The eligibility piece and the product piece will affect all employees. After the committee deliberated this, we went out to every campus. We met with every faculty senate. We met with at a number of benefit fairs that we have on campus every year. And it was widely discussed and widely supported by our constituent groups. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you. Representative Widener?
Madam Chair, I actually like this bill quite a bit. I'm just wondering, I had a bill that kind of did it for been playing with this idea for all state employees or government employees. Are you looking at doing this with all OUS employees from this point forward, not just part-time, if I'm understanding you correctly?
Yeah, Chair Doherty, Representative Widener, the way the plan works
actually,
today...
Actually, Widener.
Widener, I'm sorry. The way the plan works today is that this is an optional retirement plan for our faculty. Many of our faculty work at other institutions before coming to Oregon and may leave Oregon to work at another institution. And this allows them to have a portable plan that they can take with them, if you will. About 30% of those people today opt into it. We are not proposing at this time that it be all employees, although I understand, you know, why that could be beneficial. It, you know, PERS, you know, lets us to stay in the plan in some ways, needs us to stay in the plan to continue to fund, you know, current retirees and existing employees, but we are only proposing to change it for this optional program. And people, when they're hired, are given a one-time election. You know, if they're a faculty member, they're asked, would you like to go into the optional retirement plan? We explain the terms and conditions of the plan. Or if you don't make an option, or you can make an affirmative option to go into PERS, PERS is the default option. So it doesn't change, it for other employee groups.
Yeah. This would, if I may follow up, probably be a good plan for the football coaches to have too, rather than PERS.
Chair Doherty, Representative Widener, I don't disagree with you.
Well, the new football coaches are Tier 3, so we don't have to worry about them.
they're not quite in the same category as Mike Bellotti.
I would have used it as a recruiting tool for getting football coaches.
Other questions? Representative Holvey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have the same question that I had on Senate Bill 264, is how is this going to impact the academic employees of future independent boards, if that should go forward, and whether that's being addressed in that particular bill or whether we should try to address that in these bills is a question in my mind, and I'm curious if you know the answer to that question.
Chair Doherty, Representative Hovey, I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's going to depend on the definition of OUS and how in Senate Bill 270 or other bills U of O or PSU get established if they get local boards. But I can ask my legal counsel to opine on it, and we can... I don't know if the universities that wish to separate would want to be part of this or would want to have the ability to have their own program. I suppose that's another question, but we're happy to look into that and can at least get you an answer back in the next day or two as to what the current applicability of that would be under a Senate Bill 270 type scenario.
And thank you for that. I just think that it's a policy decision that the legislature should consider, and whether it's we need to coordinate with the other committees and leadership to figure out whether we want the emerging independent boards to also be part of this or not. I think we really need to know that, because we could establish it in these bills separately or in the independent board bill, you know, by itself. So okay.
Thank
it's
you.
A concern.
Sure, Dory, I don't disagree with you, and we'll get back to you with an answer in the next day or two if that's okay.
Okay, other questions? I have one. So basically this ORPA plan is more for people that the possibility of either vesting in PERS or even being able to qualify for PERS, it's those kind of people that the plan was originally intended for. I mean, because you have to work 600 hours every year to go through and requalify. So,
Chair Doherty, that's right. I think a large reason why this plan was created is we have a lot of faculty, as I mentioned, that come to us from other institutions that had like a TIAA CREF mm-hmm. account, and they wanted to have that option in Oregon, and maybe they hadn't planned to stay here for a long time. We also hire a lot of postdocs and other folks that come in for short periods of time and then move on to another place of employment, and this plan works pretty well for them, and actually the eligibility requirement will help them in many ways as well. So that's the answer.
Okay, so the work situation is just different than maybe other public agencies.
Sure, Doherty. And I'd also add, some people want to more actively manage their account. They want to make the investment selections. In fact, you know, we had a University of Oregon faculty member who worked with us on this committee and actually did surveys of our membership and actually got some research opportunities out of the data analysis that he did. And he's an expert in these fields. And, yeah, it came out a lot of people just really want to have the money. They don't want to be part of a system that they can't control or can't mm-hmm. make the selections. Or in some cases, people may not be sure it'll be there at the end of the day when they get to retirement. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's a number of different reasons why people opt into this. But largely, I think it's portability, control, and access to, you know, the investment instruments.
Okay. Fine, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 269. And we're not going to be working them today. The third reading calendar is so clogged right now that we've been asked just to kind of hold off for a little bit on passing things out. But obviously, since there was no opposition and there was support in the Senate, I don't think there's going to be that much of a problem. Okay. Any other questions? Any other issues? Okay. Friday, we will not be meeting. And so I know I individually told you guys. Pardon?
Did you want tears?
Yes. I know. So you guys can come to work early and work in your offices instead of here.
Right.
Okay. So I close the House Committee on Business Labor.